For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
It is the 138th edition of the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, and in 5 points, Chris Brame from the Home Team, David Johnston from the Morning Show. We are, in fact, we've already blown past the Deep South's oldest rivalry. They're only on 116 games, so we're at 138 now. So we are...
Take that.
Yeah, we're officially now the biggest rivals in the South, I guess.
The Deep South, right?
The Deep South's oldest rivalry.
There you go, yeah.
138, the Crossover Podcast. We appreciate you checking us out again. However, you might be doing it, whether you subscribe on iTunes, listen on demand at 960theref.com, or your best bet to download the new 960 The Ref app. If you're on an iPhone, you can find it in the App Store. And if you're on an Android, you can get it in Google Play. Dave, as we're recording this today, there is buzz currently involving the Georgia football program and a five-star quarterback, JT Daniels, formerly of USC, but he is in the portal, and there is a much buzz that he is going to head to Athens.
Yeah, I mean, like you're saying, as we record this, it's not official, but there's more buzz going around here than maybe over at Tech, if you know what I mean, as far as buzz goes.
Yeah, this buzz isn't a big jerk.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I saw that earlier today, and I'm not going to lie. You know, you get excited about that. Now, here's the thing. So this is a guy, right, who's coming off a torn ACL.
Yes.
So he was going to be USC starting quarterback. In fact, he was in 2019. He tears his ACL. Keaton Slovis ends up getting the job there. It looks like Slovis is going to be really, really good. So now Daniels is out on the transfer market, if you will. And all of a sudden, it's popped up. Well, I don't want to say all of a sudden, but you know, his name had been linked to Georgia along with some other schools. But now we're talking right now in the middle of all this that he could be coming to Athens. And boy, this has really, really put a charge into Dog Nation on social media so far today.
Well, it's one of those deals too, where if you know, this is a transfer, you don't necessarily need him to be immediately eligible either, because
yeah,
Georgia's got Jamie Newman, and then you've got, you know, Brock Vandegrift coming in as a true freshman. But if Daniels was here, you wouldn't need to immediately just turn it over to Brock Vandegrift. He could actually sit around for a year and bide his time, and you've got a veteran like Daniels who could step in, who was, you know, solid as a freshman at SC, and, you know, got, like you said, he got injured early on in 2019, and then just couldn't get that job back from Keaton Slovis, who threw for about like 400 yards every game over the last month of last season. If he didn't play on the West Coast, and I had some confidence that USC might be good this year, Slovis would definitely be on my list of long shot Heisman contenders for the upcoming season.
Which is why Daniels is in the portal.
Yes.
And what you said about Brock Vandegrift, Jamie Newman, obviously with Newman, he's going to be the guy that is considered the front runner for 2020. Just goes to show you that a lot of these coaches, and Kirby is the ultimate example of this. If you've got a guy like Brock Vandegrift, a lot of people assume it's like, well, you're not looking for anybody else. And next thing you know, you potentially have a five-star quarterback that could be joining your team and be eligible to play the same year another five-star quarterback would be eligible as a freshman. Now, Daniels could be one of those guys. I mean, let's just, you know, just look ahead. And again, this is just this has nothing to do with anybody, but it's just like what could potentially happen. You could have Newman be the quarterback in 20. You could have Daniels, if he transfers into Georgia, he would be, you know, whatever, a redshirt sophomore. He could be the quarterback in 21, but then he would be draft eligible after that, and then you could have Vandegrift as your quarterback in 22 as either a redshirt freshman or a sophomore. And that's kind of what college football has become. I mean, Oklahoma's been the king of that with the transfer quarterbacks and, you know, Heisman trophies. And there's another pretty good quarterback at Ohio State who used to be at another school we won't talk about, but that seems to be what it is. Clemson's the only one that's kind of shedding that right now, but once Lawrence is gone, they could end up being in that group of schools that might be a quarterback a year as far as all that stuff goes.
Well, Clemson is the one that they end up having quarterbacks transfer out. There was Kelly Bryant. They had, you know, a former five-star, that Hunter Johnson, who ended up at Northwestern. And then, you know, I guess even with Chase Bryce, who is headed to Duke. But that's because they've had Watson and they've had Lawrence, and there was a nice little gap between there. You know, the unfortunate thing for Georgia with Eason and with Fields and with Fromm is there just really wasn't any gap with those guys. So Georgia ended up having those two of them end up leaving. But I guess in this instance here, you potentially have a nice little pipeline that would form then with Newman to Daniels, then on into to Vandegrift. But I mean, this day and age, it ended up not being an ideal situation with you know, how things were with Fromm and Eason and with Fields. But I mean, what are you going to do? Like, not sign a five-star if they want to come here? You do, and you make it work. And if it doesn't, I mean, you understand why a kid leaves, just like Fields did, who now probably figures to have the best chance of continuing and what would make it four consecutive transfer quarterbacks to win a Heisman Trophy if he was able to pocket it this fall.
You know, and it's interesting too, you know, there are players from the state of Georgia at different positions that don't end up coming to Georgia. And, you know, there are years where you feel like Georgia should have gotten more of the in-state players, even though they still have a terrific recruiting class. And Kirby says, it's like, hey, these guys from out of state, even on the other side of the country, they're coming as hard after us as we are after them. So when your brand gets to a certain point, Alabama has the same, I don't want to call it an issue, but they're in the same boat, so is Clemson, and now Georgia. And I mean, these are three schools, you know, that are in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Clemson, South Carolina, and Athens, Georgia, where these are college towns, but they're not meccas, but yet these players from all across the country want to come and play for them. And I get it. In South Carolina, there's not as many to recruit from, same as Alabama. Now, Georgia certainly has a great high school hotbed of football there. But, you know, that's what Saban or Sweeney or Kirby will tell you is like, hey, these guys are coming after us as much as we're coming after them. And here's another guy, an example with Daniels, who is a California guy.
Yeah.
He went to USC, and suddenly he's probably feeling like he's getting pushed out at USC because of Slovis, and he's looking around, and boom, suddenly he ends up in Athens, Georgia, potentially. Again, this isn't – while we're taping this, we don't know, but this is really, really interesting as to what's going on here.
It's one of those things that, like, by the time somebody might be listening to this, maybe it'll be official that he announces he's coming here, but there's just definitely there's a ton of buzz going on right now that, I mean, we can pretty much discuss it like it's almost a formality, and he's going to end up here. But it is interesting, like, with those, I mean, it's a big problem for those Pac-12 schools out on the West Coast, is how many kids from that part of the country. It's not even like they're not signing there, but because I think, like, Kendall Milton is an example. When he was, he obviously ended up signing here, but, you know, he was either going to come here or Ohio State or LSU, and it's almost like those Pac-12 schools, it's not even that they're, a lot of those West Coast kids are leaving there, like, none of them are even looking to go there anymore at this point, so it's a huge issue for them.
And has Mario Cristobal at Oregon, he's kind of overtaken everybody else as far as the recruiting there too. So I mean, it's like, it's not like it's USC dominating or even a UCLA or something like that too. So I mean, you would think if there was a time for UCLA or USC to be, you know, potentially just crushing it with the California kids, especially the recruits from Southern California, this would be the time. And it's just, it's not happening right now.
No, I mean, Chip Kelly is doing nothing so far at UCLA, and I guess the trouble Clay Helton's running into at USC is they're just, I mean, it really feels like he's about to be fired at some point. It's hard to believe that he hasn't been fired already, and I'm sure that's probably working against him on the recruiting front. I mean, you hear a lot of stuff that out of there that it's just, that whole athletic department just seems to be kind of a mess right now, and that's stuff that I'm sure recruits get wind of, and they're having a hard time out there. But they do potentially have a really good quarterback in Slovis, but Daniel's a former five-star too. But it's just interesting that, like, he is so, I mean, he did go to USC, so that was I guess he's out of that Mater D high school. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, I guess.
Mater D, but
one of the top programs in the country.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
But here he is. He's, you know, maybe heading into the deep, dirty South. So hopefully he does. That'd be a huge get for the Dogs. You know, just looking ahead to 2021, I guess.
So you think Helton's sweating it a little bit over making sure? I mean, if they don't get Corey Foreman, the defensive end, considered the top player in the country, high school player in the country. I mean, I don't know. It looks like, I mean, he's, according to the experts, he's leaning very heavily to them. But if for some reason something came out and they didn't get him, that would just be a crushing blow.
Well, what's the other option? Clemson?
Clemson, yeah.
Yeah.
Stunning.
Yeah,
but, it's kind of funny. I was reading this this story about Lori Loughlin and the what do they call the scandal, the grade, or I don't know if it was the college
admissions scandal.
College admissions scandal.
It's not a gate, it's just a scandal.
That's right. You know, that in this weird way she's kind of responsible for Clay Helton still being the head coach at USC, because their athletic department, like you said, is kind of a mess already, but because of what happened with her and what happened with some of these other academic situations, USC's Board of Governors or Board of Trustees or whatever they call them has been revamped, and some of the high rollers that were on that board are no longer on that board, and they might have been the ones that would have been making more of a move to be a little bit proactive in changing things around in the athletic department, and lo and behold, they're kind of stuck. And Helton's still their coach. So, I mean, it is kind of funny how there is kind of a connection with all of that stuff. But, you know, that's how it goes. And USC, you would think, you know, especially with UCLA being down, they seem like kind of a mess. Chip Kelly just hasn't been able to kind of do what you would have thought he would have done. Obviously, the recruiting aspect of it is probably something he's not as, you know, game to want to be a part of. But still, USC hasn't been able to take advantage of that.
No, and then that division this year, UCLA's a mess right now. Then you've got the two Arizonas. Utah was good last season. They obviously they won the division, but they had like seven or eight guys drafted this past April. So, you know, that's Utah's a solid program, but they're not at that level where they can really overcome having that many guys leave for the NFL draft and just kind of maintain the level they've been at. Now, I mean, Colorado's going to be terrible this season, the way, you know, Mel Tucker left for the Michigan State job and then given no chance to have spring practices or anything like that. I don't see how Colorado can really be.
Who's
any
your
good
coach
this season.
Now? I've already forgotten.
It is Carl Durrell.
Okay. Well,
yes.
That's right, Carl Durrell. So there's a UCLA connection to Colorado.
Yeah, it all
comes around.
I remember when they hired him because I guess he was on the Dolphins staff. And I remember, like, you know, the Colorado hires, you know, Dolphins assistant Carl Durrell. And then I went, why is that name familiar to me? And because he used to coach at UCLA and he was terrible when he was there.
Yeah.
So that's who Colorado hired. And there are about four or five teams this year, given the new coaching aspect and just the way everything has been shut down here as far as, you know, I mean, being able to have a functioning football program for the last couple of months that I just think are going to have a hard time winning. And Mel Tucker's linked to two of them because I think Michigan State is one of them, and then Colorado is certainly another out there too. They're going to have a hard time winning games.
Well, you know, at least we're still talking about a 2020 season. It felt like a month ago we didn't know what we were going to be talking about. Now here we are a month later talking about players getting back on campus, and now even – Kirby Smart officially outlining what's going to happen when they do get back to campus. I'm certainly relieved and very, very thankful that we're talking about that.
And I appreciate Kirby, too, because his is a voice that I think people would pay attention and listen to. And Kirby did point out that if we do want to actually have a season this year, I mean, things have opened back up, but we don't need to drop our guard and start getting crazy. You know, I think there's a safe way to do it and a cautious way to do it. But I know I've been, you know, you and I have been coming into work since this started. I've been doing more grocery shopping lately because I'm going for my parents now. I've been going for my parents for the last 2 months. So I've definitely seen a change from the early days of this when I would come to and then go home from work. And I would barely see any other cars for about a week and a half or 2 weeks. Like there was no one else around. And, you know, now all of a sudden everything's back to normal. And you go into some places and, you know, I'm standing in line and all of a sudden I look and there's somebody breathing down my neck and you know, like back off. You know, I think it's still been, even to have sports come back, there'll be safe, sensible ways to do it. But, you know, there are still a lot of attitudes out there all of a sudden now that, well, you know, this is more dangerous for older people and younger people aren't as affected by it that much. So we've got to go on. And I agree. I mean, we can't just stay shut up in our houses forever. But I think when we are out, you've still got to be cautious and safe and be aware that this is still a dangerous thing. So I like that Kirby brought that up today, because I think there are some people that might need to hear that and might actually pay attention to it when it comes from the head coach of the college football team.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, if you want to have a football season, you know, just don't get too crazy right now and something could potentially happen. But, you know, it's kind of funny how people are going to listen more to a Kirby Smart or a, you know, Nick Saban out there telling you to wear a mask or whatever, then they may other people that might actually be more authoritative on the subject.
Right. Well, that's what doctors and scientists are recommending you do. But so when it comes from one of the football coaches, though, like, well, now I will listen. I'll listen to Kirby.
If that's what it takes, then I'm all for it.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a little break. We'll come back and we'll get into some of that as well with players allowed to come back to campus on June 8th. I did just read as I hit record on the old podcast here today that the PGA Tour, I guess not the PGA Tour, but the John Deere Classic has announced that it's been canceled. And that was originally set to be the first tournament where they might have spectators.
Yeah.
Now it's not going to happen at all.
Interesting.
So a few thoughts on that. Oh, we do need to, I guess we could recap last weekend and what you thought of the.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, the golf match. I loved it.
It was awesome.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. The Crossover Podcast presented, as always, by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and Five Points in Athens. You're on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
You know it's just a matter of time before you'll want some comfort food, like a big ooey gooey pizza or juicy wings. But you can curb those cravings with Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen's curbside service. Just go to fullyloaded.pizza and pay by credit card. Then once you arrive, call them with your name and car description. They'll bring all your comforting favorites out to you. Get comfort food curbside with Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen at Five Points in Athens and off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
All right, Chris and Dave back with you. Part two of the Crossover Podcast, episode 138, presented as always by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and also in Five Points. And again, keep in mind, Fully Loaded is, you know, they're back open for dining in, as a lot of restaurants are, but you still just want to do the takeout or the curbside pickup. They could certainly still help you out with that as well. We appreciate you tuning in, however you might be. Of course, downloading the 960 The Ref app is now the easiest way to listen to 960 The Ref. You can check us out whenever, wherever you are, whenever you want. Listen to all of our on-demand programming, stream live Georgia sporting events, and hopefully that will get cranked back up here in a couple of months, including we do have our Georgia Football Classic still going, and tomorrow, as we record this on a Thursday, is the 87 Florida game.
That was a good one.
Yeah, well, all the games we've been carrying are wins, so I like that.
Yeah. Hey, what a coincidence.
Yeah.
All these flashback games, Georgia has won them.
Because, you know,
I
hate to say it, but there have been some Georgia football classics that we have not won, but we don't need to carry any of those, so
Yes, I totally agree. And we only got two to go. So we got tomorrow or Friday, I should say, the Friday 2 o'clock broadcast of the Florida game from 87. And then June 5th, the following Friday, will be our final one. And that'll be the Auburn game from 92.
Oh, really?
And,
so they're ending?
Yes. Oh. Yes. I believe that is the end of them.
Okay.
Unless something has changed.
Oh. I'm all for, hey, just doing that when things are normal. Just play some old, great, good Georgia games. But I guess,
know. I love it.
You know,
I think it's, that was whoever came up with that. That's been a great idea.
Yeah. I guess there must not be as many just old archive tapes as we thought, because there are definitely two or three games from Coach Donnan's there. I think we could have worked in there, but we never heard. Now, he's the only coach that got left out of this, because we heard a game from Coach Richt. We heard a couple from Kirby, a couple from Coach Goff, and a few from Dooley, but there were some good wins for Coach Donnan that they never got to.
I'd love to hear that Florida game in 97, too, just because, you know, with Munson, Georgia was such a huge underdog. Just to hear him, you know, would have been phenomenal. You know, it's one thing to hear him in a game that was going to, you knew was going to be close, was going to be tight, and Georgia won, but to have heard him call a game where the Dogs basically had zero chance of winning, I think that would have been pretty cool too.
I've liked the games that have also been on television, because there's always some reference to or holding the game up for TV. The crowd is a little thin because the game's on TV. So he was definitely into that. Whether and if the game was on television, Munson was all about it. Yeah. All right. So last weekend we had some good stuff. We had the Coca-Cola 600 in racing, but we also had that live golf match with Tiger and Phil, Brady and Manning. It went all 18 holes, and I watched every second of it. I was into it. I thought it was good. They pulled it off.
Yeah, I'm with you. I watched. If I missed 1 minute, it was because I'd gotten up to use the restroom or get something to drink. But I was locked in on that the entire afternoon. And you know, if the golf from the weekend before with DJ and Rory and Wolf and Fowler, if these were movies or not movies, TV shows, it would have been, or I guess movies, black and white going into the color era of that's what it was like. And the one from the week before, I mean, it didn't pop. And I get it. I mean, they had issues that they were dealing with and restrictions, and they didn't have anyone, you know, going in front of them. But the broadcast this past Sunday was just so much better, and hopefully they took some things from the one the week before and knew what not to do. But, you know, just the ideas of the players being in carts instead of having caddies, you know, bringing in Barkley, having Justin Thomas be the whatever you want to call it, the roving course reporter. I mean, just everything came together. And really, now you might disagree with this, but I thought for the first six holes, even they'd had rain, you know, and they were having trouble, and Brady and Manning seemed really nervous, which, hey, I don't blame them. But then when Brady's, you know, that the shot that he hit,
yeah,
that, you know, that he holed out on seven, when that went in, everything changed. The broadcast, the players, the element of it, it just started hitting on all cylinders. I thought Barkley was really kind of carrying it up until then, and his trash talking before Brady's shot was, you know, was perfect because Brady makes the shot. And then on the back nine, the format they were using, I thought might be kind of rough, but it turned out to be good. Then it got close. The players were you know, really into it. Manning misses a short putt that could have pretty much iced it, but it you know, left Phil and Brady, you know, let them back in. I mean, it was great. I thought it was all good. Even the I don't know if you stuck around afterwards, but even they showed Barkley trying to make a bogey to win money for charity, and he couldn't do it. Even that last hole was funny.
Yeah, I saw that he ended up. I guess he made double. He made a six. Yeah, or was it?
It was good.
Yeah,
no, he made a six on a four on a par four. Yeah,
I was wondering if they made they probably had like a longer version of that ready to go in case the match had ended earlier, but then it, you know, it went long, so they just had it chopped up real fast.
Where yeah, and that was perfect.
Yeah,
since it was chopped up like that.
But yeah, I'm with you. I feel like Brady probably early on was not having a good time because the weather was terrible. Oh, no. And he was playing awful. But as soon as he threw that one in from the fairway, then like he wouldn't shut up for a while. So it was good because it finally loosened him up.
He was, I mean, but you know, his bad golf for the first six holes was what was also kind of carrying the broadcast. because you got Brooks Koepka. Hey, if you make a par, I'll give $100,000. You know, it's like all this stuff. And then, and you know, following along on social media, that was the talk of Brady just playing so bad. And, you know, it's like, is that guy really an 8 handicap?
You
know, it's like he doesn't even know how to take a drop. Trevor Immelman's having to tell him how to take a drop on a ball he hit in the water. And it's like, you know, this is some vanity handicapping we got going on here. And Tom Brady, who, you know, he's won 6 Super Bowls. He's, you know, married to Giselle. And all of a sudden, this guy's struggling badly. And the United States is locked in on that. But, of course, what does he do? He holds out from the fairway on 7. And then on what was it, number 12, I believe, when Phil hit that bomb, which, by the way, him driving up to the hole and talking about hitting bombs was awesome, too.
Yes. yeah, Brady was clutched there by putting it in the fairway because then Phil knew he could go for it. Yeah.
Exactly. And he started playing a little, you know, he loosened up after that, and then he makes that putt. It was just, I mean, they couldn't have asked for it to come together any better than it did. And also lost in all that, too, was how good Tiger looked because he was, you know,
he
was
hit every fairway
back in February.
Yeah.
Hit every fairway. He looked great. You know, so it just all came together. It was really good, and it was definitely much needed.
I thought, you know, Peyton had a clutch shot, too, after he did gag on that little short putt that probably if that was Tiger putting, it would have just been a gimme, but they made Peyton, you know, putt it out.
Got to putt it out.
Yeah, it paid off because he missed it. But I thought on that next par three that was – it was one of those closest to the pinholes, and Brady and Phil both stuck their tee shots, and then Manning got it inside of them. Was huge because all of us, you're looking at like, man, I mean, they're going to square the match now if you can't hit one close.
And he was he stroking on that hole too, or was he, I can't remember.
There was a different par three he was stroking
on. Okay,
okay. But yeah, was no, upset.
That was a huge shot. And I love to see those guys, see their competitive juices flowing too there at the very end. That made for it to be really good. And you remember, it was last year or 2 years ago when Phil won at Pebble Beach. He was trying to strong arm, Paul Casey into trying to finish in the dark. And Casey wouldn't do it. And they had to come back the next day. And Phil ended up winning. But it was just kind of funny. It was like that was what was going on. They were trying to, you know, finish. Because it was darker than it looked on TV, obviously.
Yeah.
And, you know, Phil's the king of that stuff. And it was just, it was funny just watching it. It was like, you know, it, kind of in a weird way, it was like 4 guys at the golf course just playing around to golf with some side bets going on and some money on the line and just having a good old time. And I thought it was terrific. Now, I'll also say this, too. If they want to think that they're going to strike lightning every year by doing this, I don't think it's going to be like that.
Well, hopefully it won't be, because the only way it would be is if we're in a pandemic and there are no other sports. So.
I know. This is one they're going to – I saw where Phil's already wanting to get other players to do it and that kind of thing, and I get it. You know, raising money and that kind of thing, but I just can't see another one of those having the same pop that the one they had on Sunday did.
I think if they could get Jordan –
Jordan would be good.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
You know, beyond that, it would just be, you know, and they'd have to do it at a different time of year because I wouldn't imagine that they would do it. You know, they couldn't do it like in a weekend in May because there'd be a PGA Tour event happening that weekend.
Yeah. This thing was originally scheduled to, wasn't there? I mean, this was the match was originally scheduled to like be like the day after the NBA Finals or something like that.
Well, I know last year when Tiger and Phil did it, it was the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So you're right. I mean, if sports are at a normal routine, this doesn't even set up at all. So it, you know, this was part of the you know, the pandemic and something that just happened to work out through it. But I would just hate to see it. I think Jeff was on y'all's show talking about the Skins game, or was it yesterday or whatever, talking about the Skins game and how good it was at first, and then it kind of fizzled out. And that's ultimately, I think, what would potentially happen here. So it was great, though. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Certainly, as a golf junkie that I am, I certainly needed it. Now, were there I guess Vegas was taking part in this too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not just for the match, but for were there a bunch of other prop bets and side bets and everything?
Oh, like, you know, every hole. Who was going to win the next hole? There was live betting. There were all kinds of options. There, even before, there were, well, all four players hit the fairway on the first hole. Only one of them did.
Oh,
so
that seemed like easy money there.
Yeah, but there were different prop bets for every, you know, basically every single hole leading up to it. Then once the match started, there were, you know, there was live betting on it. So there was a good time could be had by all,
and it was. So yeah. Thank you very much, Tom Brady. Your bad play to start that. Really set up for a great afternoon.
And I salute them for going out there, because that couldn't have been fun after a while, especially that one part of the back nine when they had that one squall that ran in there. And Brady, I think, did he did the Caddyshack joke about, I don't think the heavy stuff is moving in just yet. But, you know, they gutted it out and they went out there and played in the rain, too. They were donating their time. It's not like they were getting any money to do that. But, you know, a lot of people were counting on them to play golf on Sunday, and they went out and did it. So I do appreciate them for doing that, for sure.
Yeah, and we're only a couple of weeks away from them playing at for the tour resuming at, I guess, at the Colonial. And then the week after that, they'll be at Hilton Head.
Yeah, but
so we'll have some golf going, even if there won't be any fans there.
The John Deere, though, today has been has been canceled, and that was originally set to be maybe the first tournament they would have that might have spectators. But the by the time they get to that point in the year, the state of Illinois is still going to have restrictions on gatherings of more than 50 people, so they had to cancel it.
So they just decided to get rid of it altogether.
Yeah,
instead of playing it without fans.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll try and put something in its place, but you know, that's one of the tournaments on the schedule that was still supposed to go down, but now has been nixed. All right, Dave. Well, enjoyed it again today, our 138th edition of the Crossover Podcast. And
hey, by the way, apparently today, this is Thursday, May
27th. 28.
28, thank you. We're 100 days from September 5th, I believe.
So 100 days, so 102 days for Georgia, then.
102 days, yeah, for Labor Day, but we're 100 days, if I was told correctly. In fact, Logan said it this morning, so if this is wrong, I'll blame it on him.
Okay.
But he said we were 100 days from September 5th, so that means 93 days if there is a week zero. So we're under 100 mark for college football if everything continues to progress like we hope it does.
All right, well, that's our milestone day in the offseason, 100 days until kickoff.
Yes.
Well, Dave, continue to be well. And
same to you.
We will, I guess, chat again next week on this here Crossover Podcast. Again, we appreciate all you for subscribing on iTunes, listening however you do, whether it's on demand at 960theref.com or get the 960 The Ref app. Find it in the App Store on the iPhone or Google Play if you are on the Android. For Dave, I'm Chris. This has been the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen here on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
You've been listening to The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.